This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
It is Friday. It is Friday 2/21. Friday 2/21, 2020. And last night wasn't good. I stayed up.
You stay up, Jeffrey?
Of course I did. You know who I blame in all this?
Who do you blame?
I blame Jaren Jackson. We were all going to be able to go to bed, and then Jaren Jackson hit like three threes in a row, and then we did the, like, I guess I have to stay up now. Not great.
I will tell you that Jason Smith will come in the next segment, and we'll talk to him. Now, I don't mean to keep beating a dead rat, but
Or do you? Do you have new ones?
I had two rats on glue boards this morning. What are you supposed to do? I hate the glue boards. Like, listen, the Jameson's taking care of my rats, baby. Like, we got them in retreat now, right? And
fall back, men.
So there was one in the laundry room. There was one baby rat on a glue board.
Oh.
And in the closet where I had moved the dog food after it's been in the laundry room, there was one giant rat, and the baby rat was immobile. I didn't pick it up yet. I just let it be. The giant rat was on the glue board, being unhappy,
as one would do.
And so, what do you think I did?
Put him in a pizza box and ran over him again?
I don't have a pizza box that big. I would need an industrial-sized
pizza box.
No, what are those trucks called? The giant trucks, monster trucks. In order to run over this rat, I would need a monster truck just to run over the rat. I just closed the door to the closet and said, "See you later,
Brody." I'll deal with you.
Put my head in the sand.
I'll deal
with you later.
You're lucky. I have to go to work.
But then the damn rat's suffering. It's just suffering. It's sitting there suffering. Anyway. Oh, I know what
so
I was
the
saying.
Grizzlies.
I don't mean to beat a dead rat, but he continues to have Anthony Sane on his radio show taking shots at me. And Anthony Sane, I need you to explain this to me. Like, this is getting, like, I, you know, maybe this was a joke at the beginning, but Anthony Sane, now, he had a picture the other day. Okay, here's this what it said. He tweets a picture of Oak Hall, okay? And it says, I'm waiting for you, old man. Like, he's in the Oak Hall parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oak Hall, by the way, is the place to go for all of your clothing needs. I gave two talks yesterday. One to the Memphis area of realtors.
Yep. My friends were there.
And then one to your friends were there?
Mm-hmm.
And?
They gave...
I shouldn't ask.
No. They gave higher marks.
What are you going to say? What are you going to say now? They thought you were mediocre?
You know for a fact that I would tell you, like,
I don't think you would tell me, eh.
They've had better.
That's what they said?
No, they all gave you very high remarks. They said it sounded like you had done that talk a time or two.
Have they heard it a time or two? Is that what they're saying?
No, they're just saying it was very well prepared, which I said, that doesn't sound like Jeff.
It was. I know. But I'd only written that talk the night before.
That was the surprising part.
I practiced it. I was pacing.
I was proud of you.
Anyway, I gave two. Then I talked to a dental association, a dentist. A
lot of range there.
Of dentists. Real estate, commercial real estate people and dentists. And at both places, I got compliments. This is a whole new world. It is a whole new world for me. And it is 100% exclusively, entirely Oak Hall. You too can, at Oak Hall, experience this new world. They're really good people and they got beautiful clothes. But Anthony Sane, picture Oak Hall. He's sitting in his car. Do you see this tweet? And it says, I'm waiting for you, old man. Pull up at Jeff Calkins.
So he literally was waiting for you in the parking lot.
Like, is that a threat? I'm waiting for you, old man.
I think Sane would tell you it's a promise.
Pull up at Jeff Calkins at Oak Hall.
Maybe
like, this feels like a rap battle kind of thing.
No, I'm just saying. I think maybe Anthony was perhaps getting the suit that he wanted to be buried in.
He was getting the suit that he wanted to be buried in.
Exactly.
Anthony saying, if you want to be buried in a suit, get that suit from Oak Hall. But this means I'll be honest. I don't think Anthony Sane has shopped at Oak Hall. He should. You all should.
I don't think he has.
But that means that he was hanging out at my places hoping to get a piece of me.
I know. Has he offered anything other than...
By the way, you people who liked this tweet, it was like 93 times before, 94 times. What are you endorsing?
Violence.
You should take a hard look at yourselves.
I thought we've all agreed, like, this year, like, when we saw the fight, the Kansas State fight, like, we enjoy bloodshed.
Anyway, I'll ask Jason why he continues to have him on. Jason also got into a bit of a fracas the other day. It was good-natured, but with his Mark Giannotto on, your co-host on, and they were going back and forth. Mark Giannotto has decided to be the heel in the Penny Hardaway thing, right? And Gary and I are saying, come on, man. Like, you can't judge a good dude in this year. And Mark's saying, oh, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And now he's going after Penny. He's blaming him for Wiseman to begin with. He said he's the one who did it in the first place by paying him, which is true, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He did. So they stirred it up a little bit there. And we'll talk to him about that as well. The headline on Mark's column the other day was Penny Hardaway is not above criticism. That's clearly true.
Yes.
I don't know anyone who thinks he is above criticism. The only question is whether he should be criticized. Like, whether there's things to criticize. No one's above criticism. I don't even know what that means, to be above criticism. Like, no one is... You can't criticize him because he is Penny Hardaway. The question is whether it's stupid to criticize him. for me? That's the question. But anyway, Jason was mixing it up. Jason and Mark were mixing it up. We'll talk to Jason next. Chris Harrington will join us, of course, at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about that gruesome game. And finally, I'm going to ask the question. It is weird to me that the one time America is talking about baseball for an extended period of time is about this cheating thing. Isn't that interesting? Like, the Cubs were an interesting story when they finally won the World Series.
Sure.
And America paid attention. But basically, on the diamond,
yep,
America doesn't talk about baseball. No. They do in certain markets. In St. Louis, they talk about the Cardinals. In Boston, they talk about the Red Sox, et cetera. But if you just listen, for example, to Golic and
Wingo,
you don't hear a lot of baseball talk.
Nope.
You never hear baseball
talk.
Well,
you do now.
And you do now.
Yep. Look at SportsCenter.
There's
updates every day.
About the war.
Yes.
And so I want to explore a little bit why that is. And then also, I think we do have to ask the question, if you are Rob Manfred, do you strip them of their World Series title? And so we will take those questions up, among other things, later on in the second hour. But last night was a problem, I'll be honest with you. Last night was a problem. The Memphis Grizzlies went on the road. We all said, I think it was unanimous, if you could lock in a 1-3 road trip, would you?
Yeah. And we saw why we should have locked in 1-3.
Last night we would have locked in 1-3 because now the Grizzlies have two games against they got the Lakers, they got the Clippers, and they got Houston, all on the road. And the most likely scenario is that they will come back, and a week from tonight they play Sacramento again at home, and that they will have not won a game since the All-Star break. That is the most likely scenario.
Yes.
At this point. And so that is bad. And in fact, what we saw last night was a pretty hideous performance. They as you point out, Jaren Jackson hit a bunch of threes to make it interesting.
Hope.
So we didn't go to bed. And honestly, Ja in the fourth quarter scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, I think. 15 in the fourth? Did he score 15 or did he score? Yeah. And so he was good in the fourth quarter and atrocious the rest of the time. Like, let me ask you this. Is Ja Morant above criticism?
Yes.
Well, then I won't criticize it. But he was bad last night. I mean, he was legitimately bad.
So there are two types of guards that give him problems.
He was minus 25 last night. And he was, in the fourth quarter, he was good. But he scored 15 points in the fourth quarter and was still minus 25 on the night.
Yeah.
And he was horrific defensively, and he was not particularly engaged. Weird. It just looked like a weird off performance by everybody. And then there was this desperate, let's try to fix this at the end thing. D'Anthony Melton, really good down the stretch. Tyus Jones, really good. Like, the bench was good. The starters were awful, and Ja was awful. Two kinds of guards that give him problems?
The two types of guards that give him problems, the first is the big physical guard that can kind of bully him.
Right.
And then De'Aaron Fox is the type of guard that gives him a problem, because I think De'Aaron Fox is the only probably point guard in the league that can match up quickness with
electric.
Him. He might even be slightly quicker than him.
He has now three times gotten the better of Ja Morant. It was a discouraging performance. Now, you can argue, I mean, there's lots of things to argue. It's one game, right? It's one game. It's the first game after the break. That in and of itself is an issue. And so you can just say it's a one-off. The problem is it was a one-off on the winnable game.
Correct.
So they can come back and play much better in the next three and still lose them. So I'm perfectly willing to chalk it up as a one-off. Like, first game back from the break, away game, whatever. You're allowed to have bad games. This looked like when I predicted the Grizzlies were going to win 23 games.
Yes.
It was that Ja Morant that I thought we would see, which is a rookie point guard.
Right.
Now, you can argue that this is exactly what they wanted. They wanted, they didn't want bad performances, they didn't want losses, but they wanted to see what this team looks like when it starts playing meaningful games in the Crucible, right? And that you have to learn from last night. Are you willing to accept that as a lesson? I'm not.
No. I mean...
Is this the kind of, we want to be in the fight? No, it wasn't that kind of a tense game. They just played a stinker.
No, I mean, and I don't, to me, last night was a valuable lesson in the NBA. When a team goes 19 of 39 from three, you're typically going to lose.
Yeah, but I also think that's certainly true. The Grizzlies did not play well. It wasn't just the Kings were incandescent. It was the Grizzlies themselves did not play well. They did not play well defensively, and John did not play well. You know who else didn't play well? Dylan Brooks didn't play well. Dylan Brooks, since he got his contract extension.
Yep.
Here's game by game for Dylan Brooks since he got it. And do I think there's some correlation there? No. I think it's just, I mean, no. Do I think, I'm rich, I'm going to start missing shots, no. Dylan? No, I do think that it's some
the
regressing.
The truth is he was trending in this direction.
It's some
before
regressing to the mean, yeah. So, well, here you go. So if you look at his, let's just look at his January, okay? And at his January, he was, he was 6 of 16, then 8 of 19, then 7 of 15, then 11 of 20. You'll notice a lot of these are around 50%, right?
Yep.
He had a 12 of 25. He had a 7 of 15. He had a 9 of 7. Like, he
shot 45.5% from three during the month of January.
Right. And so he was really good in January. He got a contract extension on the 5th, okay? So then in the games since then, Philadelphia loss, he was 4 of 12. 0 of 3 from 3. Shot 33% from the field. Washington was a win. He was 4 of 17. Shot 23%.
Shoot or shoot, baby.
0 of 8 from 3. And by the way, one of two, each of those games, he was 1 of 2 from the free throw line, too. 50% from the free throw line, whatever. So then Portland, he was 4 of 16, 25% shooting percentage. He was 3 of 6 from 3 against Portland. He had some threes. And then last night, he was 4 of 14, 28%. Since the contract extension, he has shot from the field. Not even from the three, from the field, 33%, 23%, 25%, and 28%. That's not going to cut it.
He is shooting 17.2% from three during the month of February.
Right. Now, this also isn't Dylan Brooks.
Correct.
Right? Like, if January wasn't Dylan Brooks shooting, what was he?
45.5.
45% from three. That was not Dylan Brooks. February is also not Dylan Brooks. But we certainly don't need February's Dylan Brooks to continue. He has not been good since the contract. Do you think there's any correlation there at all?
No, because he was actually trending this direction before he signed it.
Well, I can go backward and take a look at that. So on 2-5, which was the day of the contract extension, he shot 35% from the field. On 2-3, the day before, 2 days before the extension, he was 46% from the field. At New Orleans, he was 21%. And then before that, he was really good. So trending, when you say trending, the 29th, the 28th, and the 26th, he had really good games of January. So the trending would only involve New Orleans on the 31st of January, and then Detroit and Dallas, and then he signed the extension. So anyway, yeah, we need Dylan to be better. There's no question about that. You need Ja Morant to be better. There is no question about that. And I just found it demoralizing last night. Didn't you?
I think that's the best word for it.
It's just demoralizing. I was ready to get fired up. I was ready to get, listen, the Memphis Tiger basketball team, I sort of feel like we've talked about it. Like,
I guess sobering. You could also say it was sobering last night.
It was just a reminder. Yeah, I guess it's sobering. And okay, but here's my question. They play again at home next Friday.
Yep.
Let's assume the worst case scenario.
All right.
Which is also the likely scenario, which is that they go 0-4 on this road trip.
Okay.
How big a lead will they have in the at what will it have been? What will it have been diminished to, their lead, when they next tip off at home? That is the question. What will the how? Right now, by the way, what are they right now?
They're still four games.
They're four games ahead of.
I'm sorry, three and a half. Three and a half
because they lose a half game last night. So they're 3.5 games ahead of Portland. They are
3.5 games ahead of Portland. They are 4.5 games ahead of San Antonio, and they are 5 games ahead of New Orleans.
Okay. So, assuming they go 0-4, when they tip it off next Friday night, what's the likely scenario? How small will this – will it be down to 2 for any team? Let's take Portland first. Right now they are 3.5 ahead of Portland. What's Portland going to do next Friday?
So Portland tonight is an underdog by 4.5 at home to the
no
Pelicans.
No Dame Lillard.
Correct.
Okay. And then who do they got?
So then Portland goes to Golden State. They will be favored.
Okay. They'll win that game.
I beg your pardon. That was New Orleans. Then
Portland will go where after?
I'm sorry. Portland will host Detroit.
They'll win that game.
On Sunday.
Yep.
They will host Boston on Tuesday.
They'll lose that game.
And they will host Indiana on Thursday. And they are actually an underdog in that game.
If Dame's not playing, they probably won't win that game. They will. They'll make up whatever. They'll still be
1-3. They'll make up a game.
There will still be a 3-game bulge between Memphis and Portland by next. It could be less than that if they beat New Orleans tonight. But yeah, they'll still be 2.5-3 games up on Portland.
Correct.
When they play next Friday. All right. Let's go to. Let's go to San Antonio. Grizzlies are 4.5 up on San Antonio. What does San Antonio have between now and next Friday?
They have Utah tonight, and they are an underdog.
Okay.
They go to Oklahoma City. They will be an underdog.
Okay.
They host Dallas. They are likely to be an underdog despite being at home. And then they will they don't play again. They play Orlando. They host Orlando next Saturday. So they only have 3 games between.
Okay, so they're 4.5 back. They're still going to be 4 games back.
Correct.
Okay.
And here is where it gets
and let's
bad.
Well, New Orleans is 5 game. New Orleans is 5 games back. What's New Orleans going to do between now and when the Grizzlies tip off next Friday?
So Portland tonight about a 4.5 point favorite at Portland. They have at Golden State on Sunday. They are at the Lakers, so that's a loss. That would be an expected loss on Tuesday, and then they have Cleveland on Friday.
So they go 3-1.
Yep.
I don't know how math works.
They'd basically be 2.5 back.
You only pick half game up every win, don't you? Don't you pick if you win and the other team doesn't play?
So the way to look at it is the Grizzlies are likely to go 0-4 during a 4-game stretch, and the Pelicans are likely to go 3-1. So they would pick up 3 in that case.
Is that true, or do they pick up 2 in that case? They pick up 2 in that case.
They pick up 3 because it's a 4-game stretch.
This is just a math question, people. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. So you think that they could be within 2 games of the Grizzlies by...
Correct.
And by the way, they then play the Grizzlies twice.
Correct.
Over the rest of the... Oh, my God.
I mean, in the end, it is why the projections... It is why, despite the fact that the Grizzlies had a 4-game lead starting...
The projections were that the Grizzlies were the most likely team to make the playoffs. According to the 538, the updated one, the Grizzlies were a 44% chance of making the playoffs.
Correct, according to the LO rankings.
Right.
But if you use the projection, right, like the based on player projection rankings.
I want at least a 3-game spread over everybody at the end of this. First of all, the Grizzlies don't have to. There's not a rule. It's not a law that they have to lose the next 3 games.
Correct.
They beat the Clippers last time they were in Los Angeles.
Correct.
They can beat Houston. They beat Houston the last time they played them. There's not some freaking rule that they have to lose the next 3 games.
For sure.
And even if they do, they're going to have a 2 or 3 game bulge. Is that still a bulge?
Yeah. They will still...
Cushion.
When they return home next week,
They will have a multiple game lead over the 8th spot. They will be in the lead, and it won't be by a game.
Correct.
But it looks a little grim right now.
Looks very grim right now.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have any problems with the, since we're talking about who's above or who's not above criticism,
mm-hmm.
Taylor Jenkins played, I think, 11 players in the first half last night. You have any problem with that?
Not really. I mean, with the way that the game went.
Rotations were kind of weird, honestly, I thought. But listen, to me, this whole above criticism thing, right, whatever, one way or another, when it applies to Penny Hardaway, Taylor Jenkins, Ja Morant, it's not whether someone is above criticism. It's about looking at the context of what they've done, right?
Right.
Looking at, like, you can micro-criticize, if you want, Taylor Jenkins for some decisions last night. You can micro-criticize Dylan Brooks. You can micro-criticize Ja Morant. And you can micro-criticize Penny Hardaway. I think my point with all of this is that you should look at the big picture with all of these people, right? Fundamentally, do we think they have done a good job for in their job?
Right.
And I don't know. Clearly, Ja Morant has been sensational.
Yep.
Clearly, Taylor Jenkins has. He's been sensational.
Yep.
And Dylan Brooks has been, for a second-round draft pick, he's been great for this team. And Penny Hardaway, you just look at the enthusiasm, the attendance, the recruiting class, and the fact that this year is a disappointment. And given the context of the players leaving, he's done a wonderful job for the University of Memphis, and I wouldn't have had it any other way that they hired him, gave him the job, et cetera. So for all of these, yes, you can micro-criticize if you want, but there you go. It was demoralizing last night. There were some good things. De'Anthony Melton was really good. Tyus Jones was really good. The bench was really good again. Jaren did hit those threes late, which made it close. Ja was good in the fourth quarter. You wonder, like, where was he? But it was a depressing way to start this playoff run.
I mean, they turned the basketball over 19 times.
Yes. I am actually willing to say first game out of the break. I do think that is a thing, or can be a thing. The problem is, as I said, they can play much better against the Lakers and still lose. They can play much better, against the Clippers and still lose. They can play much better against Houston and still lose.
I mean, that was the third game against the Kings. All three games have been within 5 points.
It is the weekend, pretty much, and that means that at 5 o'clock tonight, you can go to Pimentos. You can go to Pimentos any day in February after 5 o'clock and get a burger. But Grizzlies are going to be playing the Lakers. You can go get a burger and set yourself up. You mentioned my name, Jeff Calkins. After 5 o'clock at either the Pimentos, their burgers, and that includes their unbelievable burger with pimento cheese, jalapeno pimento cheese and bacon, their burger with fries on it, their burger with barbecue on it. They have a whole range of unbelievably delicious burgers. I think the bun, I don't know, I'm torn between the bun. It's just enough resistance, but also the crispy, sweet bacon is, and then the tangy pimento cheese, like that's sort of melting all over. It's incredible. And it's $5 if you mention my name after 5 o'clock. Listen, you can go there for lunch and get the burgers too. Like the burgers are delicious for lunch. They got all kinds of wonderful things. They got wings. They got sliders. They got quesadillas. They got like it's a great place. Get the steak and cheese sliders or the steak and cheese sub. It's delicious. But if you go after 5 during February and say my name, Jeff Calkins, you will get a burger for $5. Any of the burgers on the menu. For $5. Bring 5 friends, get 6 burgers, each for $5. There's one Pimentos on Houston Levee in Collierville. There is another Pimentos on Poplar, just to the east of I-240. When we return, Jason Smith is going to join us. We'll talk to him next. He got into it a little bit with Mark Giannato, so we'll ask him about that little, debate that they had was interesting. And Chris Harrington, of course, will join us at 10 o'clock. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sure, you can buy a car online and have it delivered right to your door. But there are things you can't do until it's too late. Like hear it. Smell it. Touch it. Or really see it. At City Auto, we've got a gazillion cars for you to see online and in person, including the one that's just right for you. Visit cityauto.com for the best of online shopping without all the pitfalls. City Auto. Start online. Finish in person.
Headlines, people. Now, deadlines!
Oh, boy.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy, on-the-go life. And now, it comes in two great tropical flavors, Strawberry Banana and Tropical Burst. They're delicious and can transport you to a tropical paradise. Try them both, then vote for your favorite at 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to someplace you actually want to go. Offer ends 7/31/20. Terms apply. See 5hewin.com for details.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Hey, I'm Luke Thomas, along with my co-host, Brian Campbell. Morning Combat brings you an entertaining and informative look at MMA and boxing. The biggest fight you can make right now, well, that's Jorge Masvidal and Conor McGregor. He's already got the Khabib one in the bag. You go and you beat Jorge Masvidal, dude, the all world right. at that point,
he
truly
can,
your
he can
oyster.
Get the title shot in any division he wants.
He can't get it right now against Kamaru.
Yeah, he could.
Morning Combat with a K, radio.com, Mondays.
Tell them Big Luke sent you.
This is Mike Miller. I'm back close to Platinum Jewelers, the place I've been doing business with for years. Platinum Jewelers does custom design engagement rings, pre-owned Rolexes, wide selection of earrings, right hand rings, pendants, bracelets, and watches. On the web at PlatinumJewelers.com.
Shop where Memphis Tigers assistant coach Mike Miller shops. Visit Platinum Jewelers in their new location at 9387 Poplar Avenue in Germantown, at their East Memphis location at 545 Perkins Extended, or online anytime at PlatinumJewelers.com.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Achieving your personal best often comes down to how you feel. And when it comes to the right shoes, nothing feels better than New Balance. The fit specialists at the New Balance Memphis store conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape to determine the best New Balance shoes for you. Experience the difference of the custom fit today at the New Balance Memphis store, located on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
America is a great big country,
filled with all kinds of different people.
And we all count.
That's why the 2020 Census
wants to make sure we're all counted.
Why is it so important?
Because the census helps inform how hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent each year for things like
new roads,
health clinics,
even more school programs.
So make sure you're counted.
Because you count.
Shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
And now a message from Puffs Plus Lotion Tissues. Coughing and sneezing aren't the season's worst flaw. It's the ordinary tissues that can leave noses raw. With each little wipe, they can leave noses red. So do your sniffer a favor. Buy Puffs Plus Lotion instead. Puffs have lotion to soothe and are soft on your nose. You'll feel the difference with each of your blows, especially during cold and flu season. A nose in need deserves Puffs indeed.
And they're going to take a 24-second violation here. Kelly Oubre going to give it to Ricky Rubio, and they'll take the 8-second violation in the backcourt to honor the two numbers that the man they called the Mamba.
92.9 remembers Kobe.
Pretty special moment, to say the least.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Thomas White and Gill can handle all of your family law needs. They're good people. I go to church with White. Justin Thomas is a former first baseman with the University of Memphis. And it's funny, when I talk to him about divorce, they recognize it is this incredibly disruptive, traumatic thing in your life. It's not just win, you know? And they do want to protect your assets, of course, and your lifestyle and everything else. But they have a awareness of it that it's not just cranking up the old, you know, the old litigation in order to crank up the bill. And they handle divorce, they handle custody, they have wills and estates, they have male and female partners, a whole range of rates. If I hope I never get divorced again, I'd have to get married again first. But if I did, I would go to Thomas White and Gill. Check them out at memphisfamilylaw.com. I have this list of commercials I'm going to do in front of me, and I chose this one because I got Jason Smith coming in next, and it's not about divorce, but it is about marriage. You tonight, by the way, are appearing at Hope Church with Faith, you and Faith, your bride, at Hope Church for Marriage Madness. Effie Johnson, our friend Effie Johnson, got you to come in there, and you're going to talk about how to stay married, happily married, at Hope Church tonight. What time is this? Is this a sellout crowd? What do we got going on?
Dinner at 6. Program begins, I believe, at 7:15. In it to win it.
In it to win
this
it.
This year's theme. We are all in it to win it. Obviously, a sports theme with a marriage madness. Look, we're going to have some fun. And it's sold out. How about that?
It's already sold out.
You can't even get tickets.
It's sold out. Hope Church.
We sold it out, baby.
So the story behind this, by the way, is that Effie Johnson is the person who was putting this together.
Tell them the real story.
Well, the real story is she wanted Elliot Perry, which makes sense.
She wanted you.
No, but she wanted Elliot Perry first. She wanted Elliot Perry. Elliot makes sense because
sports themed.
They wanted a sports themed marriage, whatever.
And who's living more right than exactly. Elliot Perry in Memphis, Tennessee?
Right.
No one.
I think that's right. No one.
It's true.
So you get
actually
Elliot.
That might actually be really true.
It's the most true thing ever.
Right. So you get Elliot Perry's the first choice. Right. We all agree.
Yes.
Then Effie made her mistake after that because she called me and said, Jeff, Elliot can't do this. We're having a sports-themed marriage thing, and we'd love for you to come in with your wife and talk about how to build a strong and healthy marriage.
There's only one problem.
I said, Effie, newsflash, I'm the wrong guy for that. She said, I hate to knock myself down in your eyes, but I could give the opposite talk. But I can't give that talk. And then I said, you know who could? Jason Smith could.
Oh, you made the right
pick. And Jason and Faith.
It's sort of like
and
that
now they've sold it out.
That job placement service that you run. You know, you told him over here at 92.9, let's be real. You said, you know, he might
Jason's
be good.
The man.
He might be good.
Wait, Jeff, are you running a search firm?
I knew.
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't take a genius to know Jason.
Jeff's placed a lot of folks.
It to know Jason it was going to be awesome at this on the radio. He was always a news person. He was a very good news person, but whenever I had him on Sports Files with Jeff Calkins,
he always told
knocking
me.
It out of the park, I'd say, man, you should be like your old man on, you should be.
Episode's still available on YouTube.
We all owe some. I mean, look at John Martin. I mean, let's think about how much he owes to you.
I'm not saying it didn't take a genius
but
to see.
But while we're here.
But while we're here,
it didn't
we may
take
as well.
A genius to
why
see
I get
you'd
so uncomfortable in those sane segments where he's after you. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a minute. So, anyway, so what's going to be the fundamental message tonight?
Oh, my gosh. You want me to give it away now? Then they might not come.
You already said it.
Yeah, you already told me. Your job was to get butts in seats. Yeah.
Don't keep score.
The theme is don't keep score. The theme is serve rather than look to be served in a marriage. You look that way, right? That's the better way. We've talked about this before. That's the better way to approach. You go longer. Don't play the divorce card 20 times in your first 5 years of marriage. That won't work either. I tried it. Probably lost quite a bit of credibility. You think I lost credibility on Drake and JT? I lost credibility with my wife those first 5 years playing that divorce card. I'll get out of this, honey. I will go get a lawyer right now.
I didn't know that.
She just rolled her eyes, man. Oh, well, it was just a sign of how weak I was early in our marriage.
You're pulling out the threat, the big guns.
Wasn't much of a threat after about the 50th time. Stupidity is what it was.
In fairness, though. You still fight, don't you?
Of course we do. That's the funny thing about this. We've fought since we've been asked to do this.
Really?
Yes. And fought hard.
Without giving away, what was the topic?
What did she get mad at me over?
Yeah. She got mad at you rather than vice versa?
Yeah,
is that normally?
You wouldn't believe what it starts over, but you probably would.
Okay.
We're watching TV, this thing on Housewives.
What?
On Housewives? Yes. So a woman whose man has cheated on her.
Okay.
Right? He's come back. He's trying to win her back. This is the simplest I can tell the story. He's trying to win her back.
Good.
Well, one of the ways he's got to do it, according to this woman, is not just get down on one knee, apologize. Hey, I want you to do that with her mother and her sister.
Apologize to them?
To them as well, openly. And my whole thing was, you know what? You know, that brother owes it to her, but I don't know that he owes it to the family. Right? As long as he's got her back, right? And yes, it'd be a nice thing to do, but I don't know that he owes it to them to the point where she can't be happy until he does it with them as well. Right? Because they're not in the marriage. The marriage is between the two.
Okay.
Because your forgiveness should come from the one woman. It went berserk from there.
A theoretical debate?
Yeah, because technically, my wife's fundamental point was, oh, yes, he should. Basically, you're going to apologize to everybody in that family of that woman you cheated on to win her back, which fundamentally, you know, you can make that case. But my whole point was, no. It should be between the two. The forgiveness should be by one person. That's what marriage was about. He didn't marry the rest of the family when you guys got before the preacher and said, I do. He married you. And so if you forgive him, anyway, and we blew up is the point of this.
Over that.
Yes, off something off television. And I tell you what, it gets to the point of, you know, the way we respond. And I've gotten better at this, but I'm still bad at it. When we get into an argument, my whole thing, after I understand that she's not going to understand, mm-hmm. I shut down. I let her know by shutting down, and that's the wrong way to do it. And I think it's those kinds of what we're all really going through. Let's face it, none of us got it figured out. If we did, you know, you'd be happy every day of your life.
I want to weigh in on a couple things here. One is, on the merits of your argument, it seems crazy to me. Not crazy, that's a little strong. It seems, she'll either forgive him and take him back or forgive him and take him back. And I think it's odd. That
he was already back in the home.
I think it was odd that it would depend on that.
Right. He was already back in the home.
That,
exactly.
Having
like
said
more
that,
steps.
Having said that, if you wrong your partner, I actually do think one of the things your partner has to do would probably talk to the people around them, right? And if they're coming back to you, I bet the people around them are saying, don't go back to that person, right? And I would probably have a conversation with someone's mother or father and apologize, not because she wanted me to, but just say, I'm sorry I treated your daughter this way, and I just want you to know, I know you probably have some.
I want you to know that
it's not going to happen again.
If you're serious about that marriage and you've literally cheated on your wife, you should be willing and want to do all of that. But the idea, right, that should be some step in the forgiveness process is where we got off right there. I'm with you. You cheated, brother. You're going to have to get down on two knees. Let's be real. If you really want this woman back, you should be willing to talk to whoever she wants you to. But actually having that as a step, I'm not going to forgive you unless you do this.
What's interesting to me is that in a theoretical TV show.
Well, that's just marriage,
you guys,
man. And it can be something as small as that, as a scenario, right? And you're on two sides of it. It's not literally not even what you're going through.
Right.
It's what another.
You're arguing about someone on TV's thing.
And that's what marriage is like. And the smallest thing can set you off and be that sort of tripping, you know, that tripper.
So here's my next question.
Don't let that happen to you.
In terms of you and closing down and holding things close and whatever else. So
it's poor of me. But I've gotten better at it.
There are cliches and there are sayings and they're cliches for a reason, and some are stupid and some are. One of the cliches that I and sayings that I really has helped me is the one that is, resentment is a poison that you drink hoping someone else will die.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it, because just think about it. You're sitting there. You've drinking this poison. You're like, they could be blissfully unaware that you're even resenting them, right? And you're like, I'm resenting you. I'm resenting you. I'm resenting. So it's this poison is tearing you up. Hoping someone, but you're the one who's taking the poison, hoping they die. It's why we have to lay down our resentments about people, not because they didn't wrong you. It's because by resenting, we are ourselves just harming ourselves. The poison is poison that we drank. And I actually love it. It has helped me because I have been known to resent people. I've been known to resent people I work with and hold resentments against people. And I'm like, you know what? No, that doesn't, it's not healthy to me. doing that. You're looking at your phone and smiling.
People are telling me they're relating to this conversation because I think every couple's been through this before where something small can set you off. The one that helps me the most is this respect and love wheel where the woman, my wife, and she certainly admitted to this, we learned this in counseling, she wants love and she wants me to show love. Mm-hmm. Whereas my thing is respect. Right. Don't disrespect me. Right. And that's my whole. And the man is usually that. So.
Right.
So when it's off. Right. I feel like she's not showing respect. So I don't show love. And when I don't show love, she shows more and more, less and less respect. You understand what I'm saying? Not in any way like cursing me out. I'm not talking about disrespect like that.
Right.
But the point of, you're soft on this issue. You know what I'm saying? So something that could look like disrespect, well, I cut it off. And so that circle will keep going around unless somebody puts their foot down and stops it, to your point, about just not holding the resentment, realizing that you're the one resenting this is eating you up.
It's eating
Stop
you
it,
up.
Or right. else the circle will continue. Like that's
And what? It's interesting to me that you want to be respected. Like
I think that's, you know.
I guess it is for men.
Fundamentally. Some men want to be lovey-dovey. Yeah,
I want to feel like I'm worthy of love.
And that's more what I'm speaking. You know, that goes to it, too. Some men are more that. My whole thing is, love to me is the respect, is the, you know, honey, you know. Again, it looks different on different days.
Like?
Yeah, what does it look like?
How does a partner show that they respect?
Well, again, it's small things. I'm not talking about, oh my gosh, go out there and be subservient. I'm talking about going on Facebook and saying, look what my hubby did for me in terms of he washed my car the other day. You know what I'm saying? Like small acts
Gratitude.
Of that.
Right.
Yes, and again, I'm not asking to be thanked here, but that's the circle, and that's the way it was taught to us.
Okay, and then the other thing that was interesting, you just said it again, was you said, you've now mentioned counseling twice.
Oh, yeah, we did that early.
A lot of people think counseling is weak, whether it's individual or couples.
I did early.
I can't.
And
how was counseling?
Well, early on, I bucked because it was faith-based counseling. I wasn't yet on the walk.
Right.
Faith had told the counselor, if you get into that Bible with him, he's going to go running out of here. And so I could feel the apprehension from the counselor in terms of, I'm going to tiptoe around this, when the bottom line was, your faith in the Bible needs to be at the center of this thing. Well, I could feel him, and Jeff, you know me, I'm like a feeler of people. Like you know what I'm saying? So when I sensed his apprehension, I was like, honey, what's going on here? And so anyway, that's the point. And until I realized that what he was actually telling me from the get-go was the way I needed to do it, I did. I bucked at it. I thought it was soft, and I'm like, honey, we can.
I believe in individual therapy and in couples therapy. Oh, here's the thing, though. I think most people, when they go into couples therapy, what they want is the person to say that they're right.
Oh, you're still looking for that. I was looking for that 2 weeks ago.
It's the scorekeeping.
Yeah,
and now finally we'll get in. We're gonna go to replay here and instant play review, and you're gonna weigh in and you're gonna take my side. And when they don't, then you're like, screw this counseling. This person's on her side.
I feel like I've apologized 4 or 5 times since. She hasn't apologized once. I have to be okay with that.
Yes. I was talking to John Martin about this the other day, because he was apologizing to someone, I forgot who it was, and he was hoping to get an apology back. I'm like, no.
Not more.
When you apologize, you apologize just
reciprocation.
That's not a reply. You don't apologize.
You start looking for that on everything. You're gonna come up short.
Whatever they do with it, they do with it.
Brother, we should teach a class, huh?
No, not in how I actually have lived my life.
And I was, yeah.
Not
yeah,
in
exactly.
how I've lived my life, but in
we're on to something. I think
I know that
I've
screwed up a lot. Okay.
Well, me too.
Maybe this gets to the Anthony Saint thing, because here we are resenting each other.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
And I don't even know how it started. I do know he started taking shots at me on the radio. But
he was first, right?
Instead of talking to him about it at the Grizzlies games, I've just entertained myself by taking shots back.
You have. Let's be real.
Let's
You've gotten your hands dirty, too.
I've just taken shots back. Mm-hmm. I figure it's entertaining radio and whatever. But maybe the lesson here is that I should actually go up to Anthony, because the other day
I have people concerned. I don't know how. Pick your weapons and pick
the,
a date.
The,
like,
the
let's
moment,
get to it.
The moment that I became a little concerned was when he was parked outside Old Collins. The tweet that said,
this.
Show up, old man, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
first it was hitters, but now he's just going to do it himself.
Now he's just going to do it himself.
He's realized it. Mm-hmm.
This isn't just so.
What's going to happen here? Are y'all going to sell
him,
out somewhere?
The next
can we do it at
I
Hope?
See him is next Friday night at the Grizzlies game.
Okay.
So if I don't before then, I'm going to talk to Anthony and say, what was at the bottom of this? And how do we get past it?
And I'll attribute you, because you're talking to Hope Church about coupleships tonight.
It makes me uncomfortable every time. You know, it was at the end. He was leaving on Wednesday. And he had one more thing, and it was basically a arrows for you. And I'm like, you guys, what has this been? About 3 weeks it dates back now, and it's making us all very uncomfortable. And again, I'm trying to teach about peace and faith and all that.
I'll be honest, I thought we were friends.
You guys have got to pick a date here and choose your weapons. Everybody wants to see it, but let's get to it here. You know, I feel like it's a big buildup.
Here's the other thing I was going to ask. Well, it was disappointing last night, wasn't it? Very. You just chalk it up as you're going to lose some games.
Man, I must have nodded off 20 times. I don't know about y'all, but like I'm coming back. I made it all the way to the end. Saw Jod in the fourth quarter, does what he does. Jaren hits the threes. They're back in this one. They can go 1-3 over the next four.
Yeah, then they got the offensive foul. Yeah, and moving screen.
It's scary because you go any worse than 5-6, 6-5-ish in these next 11. Those next 10 after that. It's hard to find wins in. Right. And so for this stretch, you needed to beat the Sacramentos. Right.
Yeah. And then speaking of going back and forth a little bit, I was listening. I replayed your bit with Mark Giannotto the other day where you were talking about Penny. Mm-hmm. Do we have it?
My God. I don't even think I have a hard time listening to myself.
Can you distill the argument there? What was the debate? It wasn't an argument.
Well, we start out agreeing. That's the thing about Mark and I. I'm on the side of that, and again, it's the line you used with that Penny's not above criticism. Like, I think there are some things that you can look at and say, you say he's doing a good job here, and you're saying, well, here's a job that I'm concerned about. Even Jeff, you've written that there's some things you're concerned about in terms of the future of this program.
I'm concerned about the future very much.
Yes. And some of that, I think, would go to what's happening on the floor. That said, what we disagreed on And it got a little bit fuzzy, but Mark, and he's right, you can blame Penny for Wiseman being gone, but for the folks that are doing that now, you should have been on him when he brought him in here, because it was understood, right, that Penny was going to go after Wiseman, right? That's the point. Now, if you're going to say, well, the NCAA has its rules, here's the point. The NCAA used a very thin case, proven by a high school case, of what he did before he was coach, not what he was doing now. And they came down. This doesn't happen in other areas. It was only going to happen to Penny Hardaway. Here's the other thing. We all figured in that world of ungoverned grassroots basketball, and Penny Hardaway has said as much to the TSSAA, he helped a lot of those kids, whatever you want to put around it. I'm not naive enough, and I told Mark this, to think that Penny didn't give him that 11-5, right, without hoping to sway him to go to East and to play for Team Penny. What he didn't do was to sway him to go to Memphis. And that's what the spirit of this thing is. I mean, that's what the NCAA should be concerned about. Are guys getting paid to go to that school, right, where that coach is? Penny was never that. He couldn't have planned it. He couldn't have planned to have James Wiseman that 1 year. Tubby could have won the 30 games. So to retroactively go back on him now and come to the, well, Penny should have done something. Penny wasn't going to stop recruiting that kid. He brought him here. Spent two years with him.
There's no question.
That's the point. Of course, he's to blame, but that's where Memphis's point of, and that's where I go back to. Memphis, all of us knew that when you hire him, he's such a huge investment for your program. Heck, look what he's done for them from a financial standpoint, that you got to put everything around him. Compliance, I want experienced folks. I want folks that have been through stuff. And I want to know everything you did so that we're not hit by anything. We're prepared for everything. And that's the way this thing should have gone. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way. Penny was honest to the TSSAA because he figured, you know what, this ain't going to matter when if I'm ever a college coach. I'm going to be honest with these folks. Tell them I've helped a lot of kids. And so to go back and retroactively say, well, he's part of the problem too, just for those, you were celebrating when he got James Wiseman. Like, are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We all understood.
The answer to that is, if you're basically saying, well, Penny's to blame for James Wiseman because he's the one who paid him, that at some level is true. I'm with you in that
there's truth in it.
I know. It disregards the fact that, as you point out, I think the NCAA should have meted out a smaller punishment because they should have recognized this is not the classic benefits thing. This was to get him to go play for East. It was not to get him to – it was not an inducement – and I think they should have recognized that this is a unique case and a nuance and given left.
And we know it's a corrupt organization, right?
That's why I blame the NCAA as much or more than Penny. But even beyond that, if that's what you're saying, that Penny is the one who's then you're saying basically he shouldn't have recruited him.
That's what I'm. That's what I go back
to. And if you're saying he shouldn't have recruited him, that's fine. But then he would have been at Kentucky, and if that's what you're saying,
if he can't
that
recruit
would
James,
not have done Memphis any good to have him for Penny to raise his hand and say, you know what, I gave him. It would have done better for James. I'll be honest. If Penny had raised his hand and said, oh, you know, I gave him $11,500. I'm not going to recruit him. Because it might jeopardize his – first of all, it's a silly thing. No coach would ever say that. It might jeopardize his eligibility, so I'm not going to recruit him. If you want to say that, you can say that if that's what you would have preferred Penny to do. But that doesn't help the University of Memphis any.
No, if it changes everything. If he can't bring in James Wiseman, what's the point? Do you get the spring class?
Then you don't get the rest of
it. Do you make the move? That was all part
of it. So I don't actually blame Penny for that.
You can't. And it was part of the package.
Yes, and if you hadn't paid him, you wouldn't have gotten him.
You don't
turn it around
like you have.
So I don't blame Penny for paying him. I don't blame Penny for any of that.
But that's what I disagreed with him on. What I do agree with him on is this whole idea that this season doesn't matter. Right, it does. What happens down the stretch does matter because it will be, again, if it goes off the rails, it will be absolutely used against Penny in recruiting. It will be used everywhere else. If Precious Achiuwa, for some, God forbid, drops out of the first round, it will be used against him. He's down to 19, 20 in some mocks now. That will be used, and that's why this season does matter. Penny can be doing a great job, and he clearly is defensively with the youngest team in America. I don't need to go back through it, Jeff.
Right.
You can be doing a great job in some areas, and some other areas we said, man, that looks like it. What do you mean they're still averaging 17 turnovers? Like, why is Damian Ball still throwing those kind of passes and still say that's the area he's got to get through to them? It's fine. It's like it's
yes.
Okay.
To
grand testament he can't coach is ridiculous. That's where I go back
right.
to you guys.
To
and
me,
if that's what y'all are sitting on, that's fine. But the idea that it doesn't matter is that, or
I've never said it doesn't matter. It's particularly
that's
for the future. Particularly for the future, it matters. That no one said it. What they say is, I think, first of all, I literally don't know any.
Penny.
I don't know
that's
anyone who says he's above criticism. Like, everyone says he's. The question is, should he be criticized? Like, has he done things worthy of criticism? It's not that he's above criticism. It's that should he have done things worthy of criticism? And for me, taken as a whole, what Penny has done for the university is really good. And, yeah, if you want to micro-criticize
right.
a game management, that's fine. But I think you're.
Well,
for
again,
me,
new
it
offense,
really matters.
Who knows?
What I would say is. Do the W's and L's, are they the fault of coaching or are they fault of circumstances? And for me, the W's and L's at bottom are the fault of circumstances, not coaching.
Some of that I agree with you on. But when it comes to a team that's got a grown man, it's almost 21 years old, in the middle, and every time you throw him the ball down there.
That was so frustrating. I was with you.
And without DJ, without James Wiseman, it's the best thing for the team in Jeff, in a world of inconsistency. That's what college
right.
basketball is.
Right.
He's one of the most consistent things.
All you got to do is, particularly against East Carolina,
I made the point
they couldn't do anything. Just throw him the freaking ball.
He catches everything. He's got great hands. It's not even like he's Isaiah Maurice or something with the hands. He's got great hands like a wide receiver. And my whole point is, so the fact that you're here now, right, against the USFs and the ECUs, and you have you can go back to, why haven't you gotten that through to the players? That's on Penny.
Right.
You can say it's on a young team.
It is certainly Penny's job to figure
right.
that. That is the job.
And
is
I thought
to
it was
get the coach to do it. Yes.
A very fair question from Jarvis in the last scrum. How do you get that through? Because again, college coaching—that's what it is. It's maddening. It's frustrating because they don't do what you want them to do, and that's what Penny's realizing.
I agree.
And so that's part of coaching.
That's
and so that's
true.
An area that you can say, man, he hadn't gotten through to him
yep.
yet. How have they not figured it out? Just like I made the point, Arkansas, Corliss Williamson, he got a touch every go. In this college basketball season, man, Precious should be getting a touch every possession because you can't stop him. Like the fact that they haven't gotten that down yet in players' heads, other guys are taking shots before he's touched the ball. Come on, that's in the this year of college basketball? Come on.
Totally. You get a sense that they're just like,
they would be in the tournament.
They're bored, so they like, okay, we've got this 16-point lead, so now it's our turn.
And unfortunately, it, you know, they stopped even playing defense against ECU. I mean, they gave up 46 points in the
right.
in the second half. That's not them. Anyway.
Jason, you're great. Thanks
stuff,
very
man.
Much. Tonight at Hope Church, maybe on the secondary market. Maybe on the secondary market, people can get tickets for this.
No, I don't
in it to win it at Hope Church. It's
appreciate
Jason
you.
And Faith. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Whenever I hear of an injured person hiring such and such a lawyer, I wonder, why'd they choose that law firm? Did they see the lawyer on a big billboard, a radio ad, or maybe an advertisement on television or the back of a bus? Maybe they just Googled it and clicked the first name that showed up. And then almost all the time, I worry. I worry if they know what that lawyer is really all about. Do they know when the last time that lawyer tried a personal injury case, or maybe if they ever even did? Does the lawyer have the resources to get the most for the client, or does the lawyer need the money more than the client does? And you'd be surprised to hear how many do. Here's my advice. Do your research. Results matter. Reputation matters. As the largest personal injury firm in America, there's really nothing like us. There's only one Morgan & Morgan. ForThePeople.com. Dial pound law on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Free background information available upon request.
Sign up for a FitzKey Rewards card and you could win up to $250,000 in cash. It's the new member $250,000 Bullseye Kiosk game at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here. See Cashier Players Club for details. Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Achieving your personal best often comes down to how you feel. And when it comes to the right shoes, nothing feels better than New Balance. The fit specialists at the New Balance Memphis store conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape to determine the best New Balance shoes for you. Experience the difference of the custom fit today at the New Balance Memphis store, located on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.